Welcome to the 109th episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee. I'm joined, as usual, by Quizmaster Mark Davis.
I'm crunching.
And today, we are joined by Quiz Daddy Tommy Scott and Peter Coulter of the hit rock band The Electric Mud. Woo!
Thank you very much. I appreciate
Thank you.
That.
What's up, Mudsters? Can I call you that?
Yeah, call me whatever you want.
Yep, they were.
Call me what you think.
The Electric Mudsters. Tommy, you are a Patreon quiz daddy. Thank you for your support here on the
You're welcome. My pleasure.
And I heard that you you introduced our podcast to your bandmates when you guys were on tour last year.
Introduce is one way of saying it. I just force them to listen to it. Well, anytime I'm driving, I'm like, this is what we're going to be listening to today.
Right on. Yep. We're happy to provide that edutainment for you when you're in the van. You guys had a big 2020 planned. You were invited to play South by Southwest.
It hurts.
Yeah, it sucks.
Highest highs to the lowest lows. That event got canceled due to the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. And then No-No was here to pick you back up, inviting you onto our podcast. That's got to feel good.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
definitely.
But more importantly than that, you guys were signed this year, and you're releasing your LP, Burn the Ships, mm-hmm. on Small Stone Records on September 25th. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And your first single, The First Murder on Mars, is an absolute ripper, I have to say.
Thank you.
Yeah, you
Tommy
guys...
wrote that all by himself, 100%.
Is that true?
No, not at all.
He doesn't do anything.
No. Tommy slowly, plays bass.
Slowly working my way into the merch booth.
Everybody's got to pull their shift, right?
Man, he came up with an idea the other day writing, and everyone was like, oh my God, Tommy's got an idea.
Yes.
We immediately put it
once
in.
A year.
It wasn't even that good, but...
Nice. So Tommy plays bass. Peter, you are the singer-songwriter.
You handle rhythm guitar as well.
And
yes.
We're only missing Constantine, who plays lead guitar, and Pearson on drums.
That's right.
Your quartet.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell us about Burn the Ships?
We're proud of it. It's a really good step in the right direction. If you listen to our first album, Bull Gator, you'll hear a clear progression from that sound. And the quality of songwriting's a lot better, in my opinion. We're really proud of
the recording is also a big step up. We recorded with Matt Washburn in Georgia, Leadbelly Studios, which is a huge improvement of our previous record.
Yeah, I am not a member of the Electric Mud, but yeah, I have gotten a chance to hear a couple of the songs on this new album, and it is... definitely a progression. I really like the stuff on Bull Gator. Pretty, like, raunchy southern rock stuff. But this is, what's the right way to put it? It's more mature. It's more, you know, it's a little heavier. It's a little more intricate. Everyone in the band is just a fucking ripper on their instruments. So,
thank you, Mark. Likewise.
Absolutely. So, yeah, check out The First Murder on Mars. We're going to put the music video, the link to the music video in the show notes here, as well as the link to your Bandcamp where you can pre-order Burn the Ships. Well, that would be the Small Stone Records Bandcamp, I think. Or is it yours?
Yes, that is correct. You can find the pre-order link on Small Stone's Bandcamp. You can also check out our website that will soon have that link as well.
The Electric Mud, three words, 1D, as Peter is wont to say live.
I can't tell you how
you
many...
You guys don't have that puddle of mud energy?
Oh, man. I can't tell you how many dozens, maybe hundreds of bars have written our name on their chalkboard wrong.
With two Ds.
Two Ds. And
That's
zero Vs.
That's really offensive because you have to work hard to get that wrong. You have to put in an extra effort
right.
to get it wrong.
Yeah. I feel like we're fast approaching a time where mud with two Ds is going to end up in the dictionary.
Yeah.
where it's now become so common to spell mud with two Ds because of Puddle of Mud.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you can get Tommy vaping hardcore.
We'll sample it.
This deep inhale, exhale.
I'm nervous.
Put that over the music, the outro music.
I drive a Subaru. Like what?
Andy has a MacBook. Yeah, he's.
Of course, I vape.
The living.
So you guys
embodiment.
Obviously love rock and roll. How do you feel about trivia?
Yeah, I can take it or leave it.
Oh, man. I personally love trivia, but the irony here is that attending Mark Davis's, I kind of find a lot of entertainment in it because I'm so bad at it. But recently discovered I never really feel bad for being bad at his trivia because the information is usually like just so useless. But
thank you. Now, for anybody that doesn't skip over the weekly wrap up, you'll remember that Tommy's team won one of the one of those weeks that there was live trivia at Nice Guys. So, you know, you're making it sound like you're not good, but you were at least on a winning team once there with Leah and a friend of hers or a friend of yours.
Yes, yeah. That was a big deal for me personally. If you remember, I started showing up to trivia every day since then.
Hoping to reignite that fire.
Yeah, we won, but we had a team. I had two scientists from SCCF. That were on my team that, you know, and we all contributed a little bit here and there, but we had one particular guy who really
brought the fire.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He brought the fire.
Well, we have some questions for you guys. I understand you have some for us. Let's preview our categories for today's quiz real quick though. My questions for you involve cult leaders, topography, movies, minerals, and of course music.
And I have geometry, authors, state facts, cartoons, and inventions.
My topics include the Titanic, music, and video games.
Nice.
All right, I got a music one also. Mexican music specifically.
Nice.
I've got a crime stats question and a chess question.
Okay.
Perfect. Well, before we get to all of those, let's go over our weekly wrap up real quick. Mark, how was Nice Guys Trivia on Wednesday this week?
Nice Guys Trivia was good. We actually had a Rumpelsnailskin join us for the first time, Kenya. Who I guess usually is busy on Wednesdays. I understand that she's been playing your trivia on Twitch for a little bit.
Indeed.
But she was able to come on and play. So that was very, very awesome. It was great meeting her. Seth won the first round with 22 points. And from there, I believe Elise just went ahead and ran away with it, winning the second round with 36 points and ultimately winning the last round with 68 points. Ye old dumb slut. She has molted from As You Wish.
She's rebirthed.
She has rebirthed herself. She has emerged from the cocoon as ye old dumb slut.
Yes, our listeners who play my trivia on Thursday will recognize that username as well.
There you
Congratulations
go.
Congratulations to her. Wow, 68
Congratulations,
points.
Yes.
A solo victory.
How was your trivia?
It was great. On Thursday, July 30th, we had quiz number 59 and 60. Quiz number 59 went to Pandarar with 87,648 points. Quiz number 60 going to Mariah710 with 78,327 points. And we also had an audio round, all third wave ska, name the band, third wave ska. Grantastic Glenn clinching that with 92,509 points.
Now, Lee, you know we have to do this Patreon.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll do quite well. Kenya said, perhaps. I can't believe these are all different bands.
Was Catch 22 any of the answers?
I put that in as a, well, I don't want to spoil it for Mark, but
yeah,
Catch 22 was one of the wrong answers that you could have selected, but we didn't have any clip. You got to save some for the next version too, you know, we'll probably do another third wave ska.
Please.
Folks, remember you can play Nice Guys Pizza Trivia with Mark Davis on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Just find the Zoom link in the description of this episode or on the Nice Guys Pizza Facebook page. If you want to play no-nonsense trivia in the coming weeks, you can do so by visiting twitch.tv/no-nonsense-trivia, where we are streaming live on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern. And make sure you follow No-Nonsense Trivia on social media to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. join us. Won't you?
Are you jerking off?
Missed that one.
Me?
Yeah, I saw your hand moving real quick.
No, I was doing jazz hands off.
Oh, camera. Well, if your hands are below the belt, I'm automatically going to assume that there's some ball
play.
It's
like that
going
circle
on
game.
There.
My hands were up here, buddy.
I couldn't. I mean, I have
I guess
a very
it's,
small
it's the,
circle.
It's the camera angle. It's the camera angle.
Yeah, watch this. Mm-hmm. You see that?
Oh, yeah.
Hands, see my hand moving all quick?
Yep.
You can't see
I
where
see
it is?
I see what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
I see.
He is masturbating.
And I did just cummed.
Very nice, Mark. All right, yeah, with that, let's take a little break, and we'll be back with some trivia with Peter and Tommy from the Electric Mud in round one. We're back. Mark, do you want to kick off our first round with a question?
I do.
Thank you.
I do. I think this might be a relatively easy one with all this brain power in here.
There is a lot.
Here's
I'm
your first
so
question.
Glad to have a team to suss with after this long string of guestless episodes.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually a host. Remember?
Yeah. He is now bullied
us. Oh, yeah,
us
Peter,
off.
Anytime you want to take over as host, you just take the reins.
Yeah. I don't guest, all right?
Here's your first question, geometry. How many equal sides are there on a scalene triangle?
How many equal sides on a scalene triangle? I know the answer to this one. I think.
Well, that's good, because I don't.
Tommy, what do you think?
I think Tommy's looking at porn.
Can you...
It's got to be
Tommy
four,
repeat
right?
The question.
Having Tommy bring his laptop was the worst decision I could have made. I knew it. He's looking up car parts right now. How many equal sides are there on a scalene triangle?
I think it's zero. Because equilateral is three equal sides. Isosceles is two equal sides. And then... The next category is one equal sides, which means
right
none.
One equal sides
to itself.
Zero.
Yeah.
All right, I like that answer.
Let's
I was
going to
go
with
maybe two, right? But isosceles that rings a bell as being two equal sides.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Let's go with it. Zero.
Zero.
That is correct.
Very good.
Good
right.
team. Nice.
This is going to work out well.
And by good team, you mean one person knew it.
That's how teams work, man.
Yeah. You know, if we were sitting at a pub trivia table right now, I would definitely go with what Peter suggested.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Mm-hmm.
Cult leaders is my first category for you guys.
Okay.
Do what thou wilt is the core edict of Thelema, a religion founded by what British occultist in 1920?
Do what thou wilt is just like, do whatever the fuck you want.
Mm-hmm. Do what thou
yes,
wilt.
Yeah.
You can, okay, cool.
Fuck yeah. That's the cool host thing to do.
Yeah,
is when
yeah,
someone
dude.
Says, can I cuss? You just cuss.
Fuck it.
Shit,
see
yeah.
See if I give a shit.
So. Tommy's just clacking away. So, in the interest of full disclosure to everyone listening, Tommy was originally going to be the only guest, and now I'm very glad we have Peter here, too, because at least someone is fully engaged.
Yeah.
Why do you think I've been avoiding coming on here for so long?
He's on Google right now.
You guys started
like,
inviting me to this over a year ago.
I'm allowed to look this up on my laptop, right?
No.
So... do what thou wilt, I think, might be the edict of Satanism.
Yeah, it
sounds... Anton Zandor LaVey.
I don't know any of that. I've never heard that name.
Well, he is the founder, I believe, of Satanism. And I think, you know, a lot of people think Satanism is, you know, killing goats. But Satanism doesn't even believe in Satan.
Hmm.
There's a popular meme that goes around that says, Satan, you know, Satanism doesn't believe in Satan, and someone says, what religion does? And they say Christianity.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one yeah. that you're thinking about. So I think my vote is probably Anton LaVey.
I mean, I'll go with that. I have no idea.
Yep.
Tommy. Tommy's name in our band chat.
I only know of one cult leader, Marshall Applewhite.
Well, you don't know Jonestown? What's his first name?
Oh,
Jim Jones.
Jim Jones, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, Jonestown gave everybody Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
They all drank it and died.
That's where, like, you ever hear people go, like, yeah, man, I really drank the Kool-Aid on this. I'm like, that's not a good thing. So all the people died drinking Kool-Aid. Yeah.
But free Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Delicious. The only thing, actually, I believe it was Flavor Aid, if I remember correctly.
Trivia.
I just don't know if Satanism would be considered a cult.
Yeah.
Do you think that it would?
I think so. I mean, I think...
I think especially from that era...
I think yeah. I think so. I mean, I think that, you know, religion is...
I mean, the whole thing with Satanism is, like, just do your own thing. Don't hurt anyone else. If someone hurts you, destroy them. That's pretty much, like, the...
a life philosophy, not a cult.
Pretty much. It's like... Well, I mean, no, I think it might be a cult. It's definitely, like, religion adjacent. Mm. You know what I mean? And I guess cults kind of are, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's my best guess.
I'm with it.
Tommy?
Anton LaVey?
I don't know, guys.
All right, yeah, we're going to go with Anton LaVey.
I'm sorry. I should have listened to Tommy. That is wrong.
Yeah, Tommy, you're a big help.
If you just dissents all the time.
You're not far off. Anton LaVey was inspired by this individual. Anton LaVey was American, not British, and was born 10 years after this. I'm looking for Aleister Crowley.
Oh, nice.
Well, how do I know that name?
Mr. Crowley.
Yeah. Some called him the wickedest man in the world, and it's true, he was a huge asshole. His beliefs were ritualized through the Ordo Templi Orientis, which was kind of like Freemasonry, but recontextualized itself around the Thelemite religion. He practiced and wrote extensively about sex magic. That's magic with a K, by the way.
Yeah,
sometimes Chili Peppers album.
Yeah, sometimes quite cleverly. For example, in his Book of Lies, chapter 69, which is about prolonged oral pleasure, is titled with a pun: "How to Succeed and How to Suck Eggs" is the name of that that chapter.
Okay.
So, Aleister Crowley.
Yeah, look out for the Electric Mud's third album, Sex Magic with a K, not to be confused with Blood Sugar Sex Magic.
No.
Or you can call it Suck Eggs.
It is.
Yeah.
Peter.
Oh, my turn. Okay. This is my easy one, so don't get too comfortable. Música Norteña, a musical genre originating in northern Mexico in the late 19th century, was heavily influenced by which European style of music?
Música Norteña?
Yes. It's named for the region. It's a northern Mexican thing.
I don't know this.
This is the easy one.
This is the easy one.
I smell trouble.
And you said it was is it based on a European style of music?
Yes, heavily influenced.
Maybe this is what the mariachi play, and this would be polka. That would be my guess, maybe. If I'm thinking about music from Mexico that sounds like a European genre. A
lot of accordion. It's German.
Chamber That's music Europe. Doesn't seem likely.
Where's yodeling come from?
Europe.
Yeah.
From Sweden or whatever. Or Germany.
I have a hard time believing anything from Mexico was ever influenced by yodeling, so.
I'm fine with going with polka. You want to try polka?
Let's go with it.
Polka is our guest, Peter.
We're going to say polka.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So I actually came to this one kind of the other way around. I was sitting eating in my favorite taco establishment in the area. God, it's so good.
Shout them out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Taqueria San Julian. So good.
Oh, that yes. That's a known favorite among so locals.
And I'm just going to have to go ahead and quickly shout out Taqueria San Miguel in Cape Coral.
That's a good one, too.
Which is a jam.
Yep.
And Death by Tacos, please.
Oh, yes, of course.
I don't know that I've tried that one.
Oof.
Yeah, that's okay. Skylar's new restaurant, food truck. We need to get Skylar back.
Oh, yeah, shit.
We should go there after this.
I'm in. Let's do it.
Okay, we're going to get tacos.
So anyway, I'm sitting there eating tacos, and I'm hearing the music, and it's like... Burr, burr, burr. Yeah. Just tuba going, and I'm like, what the
we've
fuck
had
is
a discussion
polka?
While we were at San Julian about that.
Yeah, yeah, maybe we did
about the trump.
And like accordion comes in, and I'm like, this is like Central European music,
uh-huh.
And it is. There's like a huge immigrant population in the late 19th century of Germans, Czech people, Polish people into northern Mexico and southern Texas, and there's some of that culture that's kind of like striped throughout that area, where like kolaches are huge in Texas. There's like cheese-filled pastries and stuff. So,
huh?
I don't know if there's any connection. I don't know if Aleister Crowley was a polka fan, but he did travel to Mexico in the early 20th century, maybe late 19th century. Some believe that he was a spy. He was rumored to be a spy, actually, for these travels.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I think it's interesting. Tommy, do you have a question for us?
I do.
How Lovely. Old are you?
Yep. Here we go. So, this is my easy question. The RMS Titanic sank in the early mornings of April 15th in North Atlantic Ocean, 4 days into the ship's maiden voyage from Southampton to New York City. What year did this disaster occur?
I think it was 1912.
Ooh, Lee, this seems like some knowledge you have.
I was actually 1912 was the first date that popped in my mind. I don't know for sure, and maybe it's confirmation bias, but that sounds good to me. Maybe a little earlier, but I don't want to. Since we had that, you know, commonality, I don't want to get away from it. Unless Mark has some strong feelings about this.
Just stare really hard at Tommy and see if I can get out of him.
I know that I know this in the recesses of my mind. I think I've asked this or some Titanic question where I gave the year.
Well, now it's time to remember, Mark.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, Lee. April 4th, you said?
April 15th.
April 15th, 1912.
Well, when did the movie Titanic come out, and how long ago did Rose say she was like, it's been 84 years? And how old 91? Was she in the movie? We can figure
good.
All these out.
That's a good way.
That is kind of, Jesus. That's actually, I think it came out in 98.
98.
I would say 95, but you might be right.
Okay, well, if he just said 95.
If we get this wrong.
No, 95 is too early.
Yeah, I think so too.
95 is too early.
That's just not even the question.
Yeah.
You might be trying to get me off the trail.
So if it's 84 years.
98? No way. It was 1982.
No. Check it out. It was, so if it's 99, 84 years ago, or 98, 84 years ago, it would be 1912. If Rose is 20 in that movie.
No, that'd be 1914.
Oh,
98 minus 84.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Peter's coming to the fucking rescue.
But you get where I'm going with this.
I like math.
I hate it.
Yeah.
1914.
It could be 1914. I was going to say 1912 or 1914. I fucking do that with even numbers, those bastards. They look the same.
They couldn't have made them a little bit more
World
different.
World War I is 1913, right?
Ah, yeah. So World War I hadn't started yet. No, right. World War I's not 19. You're fucking us up, Lee.
1907?
It ended in 1922. Why are we talking about World War I now?
Because, that's close. Interesting.
I'm trying, man. I'm working through my mind palace here. There's papers everywhere. So,
I don't know why, but 1911 was sticking out in my mind.
I think it's an even number.
They only sailed on even numbers.
Not after
1911, dead. 1912, 80,000 ships. April 15th, 19 numbers. God, this is one of those things everyone that does trivia should know.
Yeah, that's why I figured it was.
It's like Margaritaville for like cover musicians.
I feared that this was already asked, and you guys would be like, "You had to pick another one."
I think it was asked. Is the sad thing.
Could it be in the 1900s, like the early, like the earlier 1900s? No,
like 1907s.
Thank you, 1900s.
Yeah, 8 or 6. Fucking all look the fucking same. 6 and 8. You kidding me?
Just draw that around a little bit more. You got an 8. Yeah, we can go with 1912.
I think it's it.
Lee?
I like 1912.
Yeah, we're going with 1912.
That is correct.
Yes!
Oh, man, I'm really glad we didn't talk ourselves off of that.
Yeah. I enjoyed the idea that you were going to do that. 1914.
All right,
Mark.
Here is your next question. The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe was inspired in part by a talking raven in the novel Barnaby Rudge, A Tale of the Riots of 80, by what author?
Did you say Haiti? No clue.
80.
80, 80.
Like the number. It looks like 60.
Oh my bad.
But there's a little extra.
I thought you said the riots of Haiti, like Haitian riots.
Oh yeah, no.
Sorry, can I hear that question one more time?
Jesus Christ, Lee. I'm just kidding. The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe was inspired in part by a talking raven in the novel Barnaby Rudge, A Tale of the Riots of 80.
Barnaby Rudge sounds like by something that would come out of Will Ferrell's mouth. It's like, I don't know, Barnaby Rudge? Dr. Barnaby Rudge. Yeah.
So, who is serving inspiration for Edgar Allan Poe?
Edward Alfred Pope.
H.P. Lovecraft, maybe?
That's a good guess. I don't know, though. I think H.P. Lovecraft is later than Edgar Allan. I think they're like cars and shit
in some
of his work.
You're right. I think you're right, actually. Isn't H.P. Lovecraft 20th century?
I think so. Yeah, I think they're... I haven't actually read any of his stuff, but I've seen like previews of this Lovecraft Country show that's coming out, and there are cars in it. So I don't know if they like updated, took it out of the 19th century and made it new, but
when you said Lovecraft Country, I thought of you've entered Lovecraft Country.
I think Lovecraft, it takes place in Lovecraft's universe, but it's a modern story. I haven't seen the trailer for it. I think it's based on a book, though, that actually deals with racist topics. And I think the irony there is that H.P. Lovecraft was a huge racist.
How about that?
So his content's been appropriated to almost speak out against his own.
Fuck him.
Yeah. So it's not H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah. Okay.
Hewlett Packard Lovecraft.
Could it be Rudyard Kipling?
Horse Power.
Horse the Band.
The author of The Jungle Book. Poet and author Rudyard Kipling. He had a bunch of talking animals, didn't he?
He did.
In some of his stories?
Was the raven was talking in this Barnaby Rudge story? Was that what it said?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Barnaby Rudge. God, I hate the sound of that.
It is a very painful
name. Barnaby Rudge. Any other ideas?
Barnaby Rudge.
Mm-hmm.
Barnaby Rudge. Barnaby Rudge. I don't know, man.
Guinevere hit.
Let's see here. When was Edgar Allan Poe? He was alive in the 19th
I'd
century.
I'd go with Rudyard Kipling.
Yeah, I mean, Orwell is later. He had talking. Yeah. I'm just thinking of talking animal authors at this point. Who wrote Charlotte's Web?
Talking animals.
Fables.
Aesop. That's way too early.
Way. Maybe not. Did you say 19th century?
I didn't say.
No, I didn't say.
Yeah, I think we're just basing off of when we Edgar Allan Poe.
Right,
Poe was 18th century, right? Or 19th
century.
No, 19th. He was 19th century.
I thought Aesop was like old. Like ancient Greece may be old. I don't know, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm talking out of my ass there.
A lot of those stories were, you know, Aesop collected them from previous oral tales.
Yeah.
And myths. Let's go with Kipling, I guess, if we don't have any stronger answer.
Yeah.
You would imagine that Poe probably had read Kipling at some point, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, is Kipling after Poe too?
I don't think so. No, because it was like the kind of height of British colonial thing he was doing, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. And Poe is an American author. Let's go with it. Kipling.
All right, I'm with it.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
It's okay.
Thank you, Tommy.
Solely here for moral support.
Tommy's like, how can I make myself?
I contributed nothing. As
Tommy
usual.
is a medic in a war video game,
those
and he is a cleric,
a mental health medic
in a D&D. It's okay. Hey, it's all right. It's
cast healing word.
You get plus fucking 0.5. Barnaby Rudge, A Tale of the Riots of 80, was written by Charles Dickens.
Fuck.
Okay.
And in this story, the raven's name is Grip, which is named after Charles Dickens' actual raven. And in the book, Barnaby Rudge, A Tale of the Riots of 80, I'm going to say Rudge as much as I can.
Yeah.
It is very alerting to the ears.
Yes.
In this story, the raven, someone actually says about the raven, what was that? Him tapping at the door? And many different critics and readers noticed the similarity. But I think basically Edgar Allan Poe's view was, man, he should have done more with that fucking raven.
Mm.
And so he did.
I see. So he just sampled a little bit of Dickens for his poem.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah, there you go.
I once stole a line from a movie, The Imitation Game. It's a fucking dope line in there. I'm like, I'm putting that in a song. Fuck you. What was
Which
it?
Line?
It was,
and what song?
Hand of Death. What?
Oh, yeah. Fuck, what is it? Something like that, though. You're right. It's like a...
The line is something like, I'm going to cut off your hand and jerk myself off with it.
That's the line, yeah. I can't remember.
Classic Mud lyric.
Mm-hmm.
The realization that Constantine
Constantine was pissed.
Oh,
he was annoyed by that. He's like, wait a minute. He was watching The Imitation Game. He's like, Peter, where'd you get that line? I'm like, The Imitation Game, what?
Like you see Constantine go to the other room and sit down. You just hear... Peter!
Man, why can't I think of this line now?
Something, this hand of death.
I didn't write it. That's why I can't
think of
it.
This great hand of death.
Yeah, it's something like that.
I hardly know any of the lyrics to our songs. It's ridiculous.
Well, while you're thinking
that's
of that,
it's funny.
Let's
Tommy probably
to
has that realization.
Question.
Like, he's like playing the song on stage and going, like, oh, I never noticed that line before. Cool.
Oh, dude, all the time. In Exploding Pages as well. Yeah. All the time. It's like a new song to me every time.
That's you're not so there nice. To have a good time. You're there to play bass, right?
That's right. That's what I get paid to do.
He's not there for a long time. He's there for a good time.
That's right.
For
and
a
long
bass time.
I don't want to make bass it sound left. Like he's quitting the band. All right, Lee.
Topography.
Bring us home, baby.
A Yeti, or Rakshasa, is said to roam the foothills of what Himalayan mountain, the third tallest in the world, and whose name means the five treasures of the high snow.
This was inspired by that. Right, my question, I bet.
The line is the crooked hand of death itself. I was like, dude, that sounds dope.
It is dope.
And so I stole it. Okay, sorry, I was obviously not paying attention at all.
It's all good. Thanks for finding that. Here's the question one more time.
Okay. And with that, obviously, I have no idea what you said. Can you please repeat it?
A Yeti, or Rakshasa, is said to roam the foothills of what Himalayan mountain, the third tallest in the world, and whose name means the five treasures of the high snow.
Hmm. I don't know.
And yes, this does recall our last Rate My Question from Adele.
Tommy is despondent. Tommy is just a wreck.
I don't know. I mean, it's going to be like a Nepalese Tibetan word. I don't know what the language is there. But it's going to be, right? It's not like Everest.
Are Yetis from that area?
I think so. Is it?
I think Everest is the tallest.
Yeah, but if you're asking for the name that the Yeti is, the name of the mountain that the Yeti is inhabiting, it's going to be like a local name, right? I guess maybe not.
It is the third tallest mountain in the world.
Third tallest mountain in the world. I guess I'm just assuming it's in the Himalayas. Is that wrong of me?
No, it is. Well, I said Himalayan mountain.
Okay.
So you're right.
Oh, you did.
Mm-hmm. I'll read it one more time. A Yeti or Rakshasa is said to roam the foothills of what Himalayan mountain, the third tallest in the world, whose name means the five treasures of the high snow.
Yeah, like it's not going to be an English name that means the five treasures of the high snow. You know what I mean? It's going to be like something cool sounding.
You exhale so
very
hard.
Audible, Tommy.
I mean, you could easily like do that quiet. It's like you want people to know. You're like, you'll inhale and I'll be like, he's going to let this one out easy and you'll go.
So anyway.
Brought to you by Jewel.
The third tallest mountain.
Hashtag not an ad.
In the world.
Third tallest in the world. See, like, if you ask me the second tallest in the world, the only thing I know to call it is K2.
Now, that was we last week we had a Rate My Question where someone asked about K2 and the full name, which I can't remember. Is this K3?
I think K2 is the one a lot of people die on. They can't retrieve the... Mount
places.
Everest is also the same way.
Totally.
They can't retrieve those bodies.
You get stuck up there, though.
It's
you
very morbid.
And then people use the bodies as
markers.
Like markers.
That's right, yeah.
Cool.
A Himalayan mountain. Do we know any Himalayan mountains?
I don't. No. I know Everest and K2, which is not a mountain name. It just means second tallest, I think.
Is that right? Maybe it's Keverest, a combination of the two.
Keverest.
Keverest 2.
Couldn't think of anything good, so, you know. Keverest. I have no idea.
That's unfortunate.
I think it's going to be like a Tibetan word or something.
Well, is K2 in the Himalayas?
Yes.
So the name for K2 was Turkish.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
So if I don't know how far the Himalayas stretch. You know, one of the things I was trying to do was translate the name, like, five.
Yeah. I don't know any Turkish words either.
Me neither.
We know that teşekkürler means thank you. We were called that last week.
So we're like a halfway
You
there.
Did. I did not remember that.
We're team, Mark.
Thank you. All right, Tommy's glasses are off. He has one shoe off, and
is
somehow
Tommy
his
making
sock
an
is
effort?
Off on the other
Flies
foot.
Down.
It looks like Tommy's making an effort here.
Oh God.
He always looks like.
I'm used to having a drink when I'm doing trivia. If you didn't know that,
it's a little early for that.
I'll grab you a beer here in a minute.
Do you have beer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll pass for now.
It's good to know there's an option, though.
Yeah.
Let's go with, Everest is the tallest in the world, huh?
You know what? let's do this. Since we don't know any other Himalayan mountains, let's just guess another tall mountain that we know. It might be the third. Like a really tall one. Like Denali or something. Like, what's the tallest one in North America? It's like,
Well, let's not guess Denali? That one, because that's here. I
don't
know.
Oh, he said
Denali
Himalayan
is.
Mountain.
Yeah.
Fuck. Mm-hmm. Pay attention, Peter. In the game. All right, other Peter.
Welcome to my area of ignorance.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I gotta say, I don't know.
Let's go with the high snow. The five something of the high snow.
The five treasures of the high snow.
We got to wrap this up. This is, you're dragging this out.
Not good radio.
Yeah. let's go with, I'm trying to think of something long. Fucked ass high. Mount fucked ass high?
You know, if 100 monkeys were given 100 typewriters and all of the time to come up with an answer, they would type it randomly at some point.
Yeah, that's true. Let's try that technique.
Well, I'll wait.
I was just going to try and think of the mountain that's mentioned in Africa by Toto, and I realized that Africa does not have the Himalayas.
Now I'm just thinking of, like, Tibetan cities or something, and just maybe we'll get lucky. Like,
let's say Kathmandu. Look, okay, we're going to say Kathmandu.
At least it's something.
And I don't care what Tommy thinks.
Yeah.
It's not Kathmandu, but you guys, props for at least settling on a Nepalese name.
Thank you.
To come up with. the answer is Kanchenjunga. Kanchenjunga. It was believed to be the tallest mountain in the world until 1856, when it was then calculated that Mount Everest was taller. So Kanchenjunga is 8,586 meters. Mount Everest is about 300 meters taller. The local Lopo people believe that the treasures reveal themselves to the devout when the world is in peril. These treasures include salt, gold, turquoise, sacred scriptures, invincible armor and ammunition, grain, and medicine. And they are apparently located in a hidden valley of immortality called the Beul Demoshong. So Kanchenjunga is the third tallest mountain in the world, once believed to be the tallest.
That question is not asked to be correctly answered.
Junga?
You know, after our K2 question last week, I was curious, maybe Mark went looking at mountains. I don't know. I wonder sometimes if you go looking at what we talk about here on the podcast.
Yeah.
Clearly not.
It's not, yeah.
It was funny.
That's
you were
good.
Listing
now
things.
I know I can mine all my questions from our Rate My Questions.
Yeah. There you go. Perfect.
It's funny, you were listing things, you're like, when the world's in peril, they will reveal, and it was like salt, turquoise. I'm like, how is any of this shit gonna help us now?
Well, you see, like, it's all located in a hidden valley of immortality.
Magical. Yeah, right. You got to the good stuff later.
I want a hidden valley of salad dressing.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Tommy's suddenly woke up.
Now is the time to do it. Let's go ahead and take a break. And I think Peter and Tommy and I are going to make a giant salad and jump into it. Manufactured with delicious Hidden Valley brand dressing.
Thanks My to favorite the Kanchenjunga region.
I'm a blue cheese guy.
Yes, Kanchenjunga.
Before we get into our round two of trivia with Tommy and Peter here, we have some no notes to read from our listeners.
Okay, well, that was just a complete disaster.
Let's try it again.
It sounded great.
Can we do it again?
Well, so first off, I went with a bump, 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 and Lee went with a no, no, no.
Yep.
And then Peter just came in 11-8 time, just saying the word no. And then Tommy finished it up by saying missed corrections.
I'm asking kindly if we could do it again. I've always dreamed to sing this with you guys.
Okay, all right,
are we doing bums or are we doing no's?
We'll do bums.
Yes. Okay,
let's do
ready?
Some bums.
Yep. Here we go. Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum, bum,
ba-dum, bum, ba-dum, bum. Missed corrections. I dropped out. I've never heard it before.
That's fine.
All right, good
and
enough.
You know what?
Enough.
Honestly, Peter, that's not the worst one we've done.
Oh, cool. I'm happy to be
Last
part
week,
of that.
We didn't even get the melody right.
Maybe we can get the Electric Mud to do a song, a version
ooh,
of that.
That would be great. We have David Holbrook did send in a jazz rendition of
and
that.
And you haven't theme. Used it once since the first time, and I don't understand why, but...
Well, I don't want to use it every week, you know? I want to get some new blood in there. We'll bring it back. Don't worry, it's not gone. Thank you, David Holbrook. And please, send us a cover, if you would, of the No Notes Miscorrection theme. We have a no note here from Miles. Miles writes, "Hey guys, in the last episode, Lee made a comment during the Vincent Fournier question sus that Michael Bublé was a fake name. Not sure if it was a joke from a previous episode, but Michael Bublé is in fact his birth name. Thanks, Miles." Miles, supposedly Miles. I'm on to you, Mr. Bublé. This is clearly from Michael Bublé here. And we know that is a fake ass name. And we have another no note here from new proverbial lightkeeper Jenny. Jenny writes, "This is the first anything I've ever backed on Patreon, and it couldn't go to a more deserving source of great edutainment." So we just want to say thank you to Jenny for supporting us on Patreon. We have tons of bonus content. If you don't support us on Patreon, there are many, many hours of extra quizzes, cutting room floor deleted moments from the show. Check that out. And if you'd like to write us with a missed correction, a rate my question, or even just a little no note, you can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Call us at 1-929-356-6966 or find us on social media.
Fantastic. Yeah, I actually did look up the Michael Bublé thing and was going to mention it, but I did not.
Yes, Michael Bublé. It is, I think it is actually his birth name. I was joking. Just as I was here. I don't think that was really Michael Bublé that wrote to us.
I would not be surprised if that was a fake name.
You never know.
Tommy. I'm sure you guys are hearing that. That's Tommy rubbing the felt on this table in front of us.
This is what I was like in school.
Same. I used to sit at the back of the classroom where there was a window, and I had greasy pomade in my hair. And I would just like rub that thing on the window to go, and my English teacher would be like, "Lee, stop that right now."
One more little one and back good to my desk.
You agree, but that's a different noise. That's okay. I did. You said not to do that noise.
Exactly. I have a movies question for you guys to kick off round two. Movies is the category. What 2007 film features props said to be designed by Francois Voltaire, but were actually co-designed by Mark Jacobs and Eric Chase Anderson?
These are some of my favorite set people. So I should know this.
Peter's like, "You fucked with the wrong guy, buddy."
Well, Mark Jacobs is a famous fashion designer, you might recall.
I know him from the Lil Wayne song.
Okay, yeah.
"Straight about the water with the Mark Jacob goggles."
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got for this one.
This obviously was coaxed on by my question last week, where you guessed Mark Jacobs saying that it wasn't his real name. Got you on the Mark Jacobs train. I did not follow the same path, though. 2007 movie?
2007 film features props said to be designed by Francois Voltaire in the movie. They say, "Oh, these were designed by Francois Voltaire." But they were actually co-designed by Mark Jacobs and Eric Chase Anderson.
Okay. Well, I don't know who Eric Chase Anderson is unless it's another name for some other famous person, which would be very much on par with Lee, unless you guys know Eric Chase Anderson.
I don't. Tommy's not even here.
Yeah, my headphones don't work.
Nice try.
So it's got to be something. If anybody's talking about the props, the props have to be weird or unusual in some way, right?
Can I tell you what, like, one of my first thoughts was?
Yeah.
The last Matrix movie.
Okay.
Now, the first one came out in 98.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think 99. It came out in 98.
I'll give you 99. That. 99.
Yeah, I knew it was 98 or 99. I actually just rewatched Dark City.
Mm-hmm. That might have been 98, 97.
It was 97.
I've never seen that.
So a lot of people, it's one of my favorites. It's cool. It is not The Matrix, but there's a lot of, it's very dark, very, like a lot of leather, a lot of, you know, big coats, etc.
Sci-fi noir.
Yeah, and a lot of people were like, and it also deals with like reality, and a lot of people are like, oh, this is ripping off The Matrix, and people who love Dark City are like, no.
Right.
No. Huh. Well, I was thinking if, so 99, so then what, they start writing and doing Matrix Reloaded, that comes out in what, 2002? 2003?
Sounds right.
Then da-da-da-da-da-da, and then the last Matrix movie comes out around 2007?
It could be. So, props? That doesn't mean costumes.
Right. Well, that's the interesting thing with Marc Jacobs, that he's a costume, or like, you know, a clothing right. guy, and he's doing props. Mm. He's given props?
Marc Jacobs, I'll just give you as a little side info, was the creative director of Louis Vuitton at this time period. From like 1997 to 2014, I think, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Miss Congeniality 2.
Oh, White Chicks.
Yeah.
Oh, that was 2006.
Oh, sorry.
Not joking.
I totally know.
Wow.
Or five, actually, I think. Oh, God.
God, I'm on the air knowing when White Chicks came out.
Louis Vuitton. Are we just considering costumes props, maybe, or no? Like, maybe in the background or something?
I don't know. I'm a little bit stumped here, to be honest with you.
Um, 2007 movie. That's fucking 13 years, 14 years ago.
So weird.
13 years ago. God, a lifetime.
Yeah.
When I think, for some reason, when I'm thinking Louis Vuitton, I guess it's just because it's a French name, I'm thinking of like, you know, maybe like Pride and Prejudice, something like that, you know.
Man, I don't know. Little 2007, as a junior in high school, I was just figuring out that I could take mushrooms and not have to worry about what movies are coming out. Tommy, I think that your messenger is pinging on your computer. I'm hearing it in my headphones.
I don't hear it.
Weird.
Didn't even notice.
Peter's already signed up for Neuralink, Elon Musk's Neuralink. My He's just hearing
that's
it.
That's what that. Ah, so this is. Fuck.
You guys excited to read each other's thoughts with the Neuralink? I can't wait.
Can't wait.
I don't know.
Mind reading everybody.
What's the format of that going to be? Like, how am I going to know it's someone else's thought and not mine?
I don't think you can. Matter. Yeah. It's the singularity. He hasn't come out and said it, but he's just going to make the singularity. I think is the goal.
All right. I'm on board. I'll take anything at this point.
Yes.
I'm going to go with yes also.
The band yes. let's go with...
not to be confused with Asia.
Or the Buggles.
The Buggles.
Yeah.
You didn't pick up on that?
It was a podcast thing.
Let's stay focused.
Thank you, Tommy. Uh-oh. Medic.
Tommy's whippersnapper.
I'll give you another hint here. This movie had three writers, one of which was Roman Coppola.
That doesn't do it for me.
I get so angry at trivia. Why should I know that?
Yeah, same. I'm really bad at the pop culture stuff, I find. Like triangles. I'm all about fucking triangles, baby.
You nailed that one.
Yeah.
I know triangles.
That's the thing. You know, if you can get one, you're benefiting your team, you know?
Yeah.
So you don't even have to worry about it, Peter. You can just take a break. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just kick back.
Roman Coppola. Could it have been The Departed? Let's say The Departed.
It could have been.
You want to say The Departed?
You said 2007?
Mm-hmm.
The Departed did not come out in 2007.
It didn't come out 13 years ago?
It was, I worked at the movie theater. I just happened to know The Departed came out in 06 or 05.
You're sure it wasn't a year later? Because you were sure about White Chicks 100% a minute ago.
The Departed came out when I worked there, so my...
When did you work there?
Employment ended on March 15th, 2006.
Look at this memory.
Well, I quit on my birthday.
Oh, okay. Happy birthday.
Oh, man, that was good.
Yeah, well, shit. The child labor laws no longer applied to me, and they were going to make me work six consecutive hours without a break and clean up poop. And so I was like, I'm out.
Clean up poop?
And we're done.
Yes. Yeah, no. You can't make minors do that, by the way.
No,
so.
You can't.
Yeah. Roman Coppola.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. Just starting back from scratch.
This movie was the first in a long series of writing collaborations for Roman Coppola with the director of the movie.
I mean, I don't know who Roman Coppola has worked with. Sofia Coppola? Lost in Translation? Like, I you know.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
I don't know. I did figure out, though, Tommy, that the Facebook Messenger pinging was me. Sorry. I fixed it.
There you go.
Perfect.
I figured.
Yeah, that was me.
So, I don't know. Do you just want to guess?
Tommy, what came out in 2007? List.
I didn't go to the movie theater for a long time after I quit.
He was worried about getting in trouble. Let's go with Departed.
Okay, go for it. Be wrong.
Even though you know for a fact that didn't come out in 2007.
Yeah, it
came
out.
Does anybody have anything better?
Can't do that. How about? Oh, fuck me.
Oh man.
Jurassic Park 3.
When did that come out? Fucking IMDb. IMTB, the Internet Movie Tommy Base.
I like that.
Tommy Sign Boy. Me up.
It's a good nickname for you. We're both staring at Tommy and it's...
We're waiting for this vape
not exhale. Yielding results.
The vape is the new pipe. He takes a drag from his jewel and
I do
thinks,
this when I'm really stressed out.
Scratch the chin, hit the vape.
2007, man. I was really drunk throughout that year.
Yeah, I was...
Jesus Christ.
I was learning about all the drugs and alcohol right around then.
Same.
I went to Bonnaroo that year.
Oh, boy.
That was before,
did you go with Matt Woods and Lowell?
I saw them there, yeah.
I knew that.
We're going to do inside jokes for your podcast listeners now.
All right. Anyway. Come on. 07. Just go with The Departed.
Fuck it. Yeah. We're wrong.
We're going to say The Departed.
You guys are right. You were wrong. You're right about being wrong.
Yes.
A set of 11 suitcases were crafted by Marc Jacobs with stampeding animal and palm tree embellishments. Designed by director Wes Anderson's brother, Eric Chase Anderson,
Darjeeling
who
Limited.
Served on as a production designer for most of his brother's movies in the Darjeeling Limited. Yes, that's right, the Darjeeling Limited.
I got it right.
It was just a delay.
There's a little bit of black here.
Damned.
Yep.
There's a ton here.
Yeah, internet is going to, or the fans are going to have to understand that we're dealing with an internet.
Yes.
Here's your first question of the second round. What state has the highest percentage of black people in the United States?
Like the ratio?
They're
all staring at me for some reason.
I didn't stare at you.
I'm going to guess somewhere in the South. What do you think?
Yep.
So
Mississippi or Alabama?
Yeah, I was going to say Mississippi or Louisiana.
Yeah. Oh, Louisiana.
I don't know that it's Louisiana. I mean, Louisiana is known to have a high number of Cajun population, which is not to say that there's not, you know, a lot of black people in Louisiana, but they're kind of known for, you know, the Acadians coming down. And I feel like that would displace other populations to maybe surrounding areas. And I feel like I read somewhere... Alabama or Mississippi is...
Mississippi, yeah. I was just going to say Mississippi. I feel I read something about this recently, and I'm going to go with Mississippi personally.
I'll go with that.
Mississippi.
Yeah, I'll go with that. That sounds right.
With 37.3% black population, Mississippi is correct.
Yes. Woo!
Very good, guys.
That's what's up. There you go. Tommy is no longer just the medic. He answered a question.
Yeah, he's now a paladin.
He's a brave warrior.
So not...
not a cleric, but a paladin.
Inside the United States, if it was a state, Washington, D.C. is 50.08% black.
Wow.
So though it is not a state, that if it was, if it counted as a state, that would be answer number one. Mississippi, second highest, with 37.3%. Louisiana in third with 32.32%.
So Louisiana is not a bad guess. It's just wrong.
No. After that, there's South Carolina, Georgia, Maryland, Alabama, North Carolina, Virginia, and surprisingly, Delaware, rounding out the top 10.
Did you say Florida was in the top 10?
I did not. Okay. I don't think. Florida is number 15. If you don't count District of Columbia, which you shouldn't.
What's 50th, like Wyoming or Montana?
Last place is Montana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty white.
And barely anybody there, I think.
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah,
white.
I actually know everyone in Montana.
There's like 10
white
people
for a
there.
Fly guy.
Yeah. I really like Montana. It's pretty.
Did you guys like that joke?
The big sky state.
I said pretty white for a fly guy.
Ah.
Yeah, it's really good.
An Offspring Spoonerism lyric.
Yes.
Okay, Tommy, your turn.
Yes, it is. What rock and roll band set the record for the highest priced general admission concert tickets of all time, priced at $624?
Oh, God. Rolling Stones, maybe. I hate whoever this is automatically.
I just want to tell you how aggressive Tommy was. He ripped off his headphones,
snapped them in half,
asked the question,
put his
directions. Headphones back on, and just stared us down.
I demand to know.
I feel very beta'd right now.
Rolling Stones is a bad guess.
What Rolling band?
Mm-hmm. What band?
Did you give a year, Tommy?
I did not, no.
Okay.
That is not included. But I did say rock and roll band, which narrows it down.
Yeah. Mm.
So you think about that. I think my guess would be the Rolling Stones.
I will say another band that was known for ridiculously high prices was U2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I believe the band with the... I think they're the band that stayed together with the same lineup in the longest band to stay together with the same lineup in history or something.
U2 is?
I think so.
I hate U2.
Sorry. Us three.
Yeah. Bitty bitty bop.
U2, what about Aerosmith? They seem like they would have high prices.
They do seem like they would.
I gotta pay for all those Bobos to be honking on.
I think they're a little too working man.
Mm.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't mean all tickets are that price. That's like a VIP ticket price, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going to have a small section for their VIPs.
Yeah. I think my guess is Rolling Stones. I don't...
It's probably not the Who.
I don't have any reason to think it's anything else.
The Rolling Stones is a good guess because they've been around for so long, and I feel like just every year you can add a little bit more to the ticket price, and so they've been around for so long every year they're just adding, you know, $20 to their higher end ticket price.
Yeah, and not to mention the fact that you're still touring in modern day means that $660 isn't what it was in the 70s or whatever, you know.
God, Mick Jagger's slam dunk on Paul McCartney on the Howard Stern show. Did you guys hear that?
No.
Howard asked him like how he felt about, you know, Paul McCartney comparing themselves to the Beatles. And Rolling Stone says, one of us is still selling out arenas and the other band doesn't exist.
Wow.
Jesus.
Yeah. Wow.
Got him.
Kind of mean.
It was a friendly jab. I don't think he was talking about the individual band members not being around.
Well, yeah, it's like Paul McCartney would come back and go,
that really hurts, well, Mick.
If the other main writer and singer of the band didn't get shot in front of his fucking hotel, then maybe we would have stuck together, asshole.
Yeah, dude.
Dude.
Sounds like a new Paul McCartney song.
Yeah, he's just really aggressive. Mm-hmm. Trap
he does
music.
Like to change it up.
What he if does. It's just a newer band?
You think?
Slipknot?
Oh, dude.
You just
are
broke
Tommy's
heart.
Are they a rock and
heart.
Roll band?
I would consider them a rock and roll band. Yeah,
yeah, you're talking okay. rock like the
metal's a subgenre of rock and roll.
Genre, yeah.
I didn't know how you said it narrows it down that they're a rock and roll band, so I didn't know if you were trying to say like, you know, it's like specifically like a classic rock style, but if you're including metal, then that definitely opens up the
Yeah, tent. It could be Metallica, maybe. Mm-hmm. That's another one that's Ooh, I think known yeah. for very expensive tickets.
Especially when they get that symphony involved, when you have the symphony and the Metallica, the S and the M. Mm.
S&M.
Bruh.
Metallica. How much are you going to pay to hear James Hetfield play the solo on Nothing Else Matters? Wait, was that it? Nothing Else
I would
Matters.
Pay more than $10 to see that band personally. Not even joking.
Yeah,
Fugazi
I'm not
pricing?
A huge fan either.
Yes, yeah, Fugazi pricing.
I'm trying to think if there was some band that like held out for a long time and then went on a tour, because like the thing about Aerosmith is you're right, like they've been around for a long time, they could charge a high amount, but they also have never really like stopped touring, so I guess like time is the issue with, you know, being able to charge more. But like imagine if the Beatles, you know, all of them were still alive and they didn't get back together for 30 years and then got back together. Mm-hmm. The fucking prices you could
So you're
charge.
Saying it's Jawbreaker.
Yeah. So like you're talking like kind of a supply and demand thing.
Well, I'm just
like
wondering, like, that's another
once.
Kind of angle to look at. Like, yeah. we've been waiting, like the Eagles. Like, when the Eagles finally got back together. Like, imagine ticket prices for that, where you got to see fucking Glenn Frey and fucking Joe Walsh and, you know, Don Henley and the other people.
For what it's worth, it's $624 American dollars.
So it's an American USD. Band? Is that what you're telling me?
No,
or
I did not.
Maybe it's a British band, but that's the
that's
conversion.
How. Yeah, I wanted to clarify on that.
Okay.
These are American dollars. I okay, know some right. people here might be thinking in pounds, and
I don't know. That's
I like that idea of it being the Eagles for that reason.
But that was a long time ago. I mean, we're talking 98.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I think
something
even
like
earlier
that.
Than that probably.
You want to go with the Rolling Stones?
I feel like that's our safest guess.
That's my best guess. I don't know. I don't have
the
other
two
reason.
That I was thinking it could be would be Radiohead, just based on pretension, and Steely Dan for similar reasons.
Yeah.
Well, I have tickets to see Steely Dan, and I don't remember
okay, so
seeing
you're,
any.
You're scoping them out.
I mean, they might have been. The tickets I got were pretty expensive, and they're not super, super good. Is U2 not an option?
U2 is a good option, too, but...
I'd say I'm 50-50 between those two. I do kind of have the feeling, though, that... what's his name? The fucking
Bono?
Guy from the South Park episode. Yeah. it's like so...
Bono
hey,
is
man,
the guy from the South
charity,
Park episode.
And, you know...
Mm-hmm. But that's
I'm
the
not
going
to charge you $660 to come to my show.
When they did the Zooropa TV tour in the early 2000s, and I think, like, there was a lot of hubbub about how expensive the prices were. Like, people were like, these, you can't buy a ticket for less than, you know, 100-something bucks. And that was then.
Right.
So, like, you've got this band who you get to see, you know, do everything from In the Name of Love and Where the Streets Have No Name to fucking, you know... all that, like, One and all that shit, plus whatever they're doing now. Mm. And, I mean, their fans are rabid. Justin Peterson, who's right. been on the podcast, a huge fan. I just know that they were one of those bands that had expensive tickets, you know?
Right. Yeah, I could sign off on that. I'd say I'm 50-50 on it, really.
Rolling Stones, U2?
Lee, you want to break the tie?
I feel like I don't know why. I kind of agree with Peter. I feel like U2, one, they have a big draw, so they don't need high ticket prices because they're going to pull in. I feel like they might even have a bigger draw than Rolling Stones.
I think you might be right, just because very their successful fans are still alive.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, you don't need as expensive tickets. So I'm kind of leaning towards Rolling Stones here. But
all right, let's do
U2
it.
Is not a bad guess. Rolling Stones.
We're going with Rolling Stones.
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
We did it. Woo! Nice one.
Good job, boys.
That was
You see, I like to ask trivia questions that are easily sussed, you know, that anybody could like participate in.
I appreciate
and not
that.
Counting out people who
may
not.
You didn't like my
Conchunga? What's a Nepalese word for my
We like to mix it up a little bit.
Peter.
That's true. That is a good question.
Oh, my turn.
Tommy.
Okay, we're getting into crime stats.
Okay.
So I was reading the book Freakonomics the other day on
Ooh, with Stephen Dubner.
Beach. Yeah, really good.
And Stephen, the other Stephen.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Two Stevens.
Anyway, the very first chapter is kind of about this, and it gave me the idea for this question. In what year did the U.S. experience its highest levels of violent crime?
It's going to be in the 80s.
Stephen Levitt.
Nice.
Yeah, Tommy came in with the... You said the 80s?
I would say the 80s.
That sounds about right.
Shit was crazy.
Yeah, U.S.
So not just one state, but the United States as a whole.
Yep. Of America.
So naturally, I'm going to go with 86.
And to the Republic, for which it stands.
So major population center of the U.S. is obviously New York. New York was turning around in the late 80s, early 90s. Is that when crime started to drop there?
Yeah, something like that.
And then, yeah, I agree. It's probably somewhere in the 80s, but which year? There's 10 there.
Yeah, I would say 86 or 87, but I've been known to be wrong in trivia here and there.
Have you?
Yeah, I've got a couple of your trivia questions incorrect in the past.
Me too, Tommy.
I'm sorry, guys. Let's start making them real easy for you.
No, thanks. No.
The time I won, I was convinced you would was like, all right, Tommy's here.
It's the Truman Show.
We're going to knock it down.
What instrument has four big strings that go boom, boom, boom?
Mine has five.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Mark, the sound of the bass guitar is dernt, 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 dernt.
Oh,
dernt.
Yes, Mike Dernt.
Mm-hmm.
What year?
Yeah.
80. I'm thinking like when crack became a big problem. Chicago. New York.
And Peter, the crime rate has been in overall decline since then, right?
Yes.
It hasn't risen. I think that if I remember correctly, that's kind of the point of that is like you'd think it's really bad right now, but actually if you look at the stats.
Well, all the experts at the time were like, this is going to get worse. Our best optimistic estimate is that it's going to get 15% worse. Our worst estimate is it'll get twice as bad. And like the next year it started tapering off. And the idea in the book was everyone wanted to take credit. Look, we have the gun control laws, the economy's improving, et cetera, et cetera. But the book's point is that, or the author's point was that abortion had become legal like 15 to 20 years before this. I'm giving you a clue there, I guess. Pretty much nationwide, the Roe v. Wade case, and decreased the pool of potential criminals that way.
Less desperation.
There was a very controversial. I remember Stephen Levitt talking about it on the podcast, and he was like, "A lot of people don't want to hear it, but you know, parents that didn't want to be parents weren't having babies and not caring about them, and da 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 da." And because I think there was like a very large amount of like African American women that were getting abortions or something like that, that it was like kind of read as racism, or like the higher amount of abortions were in like lower income places that also happened to be black. So it was like some, you know, what's where intersectional racism. I remember him talking about that on the podcast.
So Peter just did say that it was 20 years before abortion was legalized. So when did Roe versus Wade occur?
That's kind of a guess. Don't take that 20 as gospel.
Well, I was
going to
say, I mean, I thought Roe v. Wade was in 1970s. I'm not sure if that's right or not.
Yeah, so the 50s seem pretty early for this stat. That doesn't sound right. I don't know. I'm still feeling good about the 80s. Maybe.
Could it have been the 90s?
I don't think so. I would say maybe we should go earlier, if anything. Like maybe the late 70s.
I just know the 80s were known to be pretty wild with crime. Is a problem.
I mean, you had a lot of coke getting smuggled into the country. Being made into crack.
I'll
throw down a year. I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, 83,
79, 83.
Mine was 86.
Yeah.
So maybe we should meet somewhere in the middle.
Well, he's saying 79, possibly. Mm-hmm. And you're saying 86, so 83 would be closest in the middle. We can do 82.
Okay.
What do you want to do?
I'm fine with that. I don't have any strong preferences, but you know, somewhere in the 80s, 82 sounds fine.
We're going to say 1982.
Okay, that is incorrect. That is 1991.
Ooh.
I knew it. I knew it was early 90s.
Yep.
I'm surprised.
So this chapter of the book basically just said that after World War II, I think crime rates just went up and up and up and up and up and up. And then right around that time, the book just said in 1991, violent crime rates peaked. So before I wrote the question, I wanted to look into that a little bit. And by violent crime, I looked up the Wikipedia page about crime rates in the U.S. over time. And it's a... murder and non-negligent manslaughter, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault. And in 91, all those numbers were just like dimed. Although 1980 did have a higher murder rate by a little bit, all the other ones were significantly lower than 91. 91 was just across the board. All those things were like off the charts.
It was all those years of trickle-down economics doing their work and their wonders.
Yeah. Stuff works, man. Just give rich people all the money, and it'll all get back to us
and
someday.
Next thing you know, you find them going and getting Domino's pizza and employing a lot of people.
Yeah.
Lee.
Minerals is my last category for round two for you guys. Which ornamental mineral was a mark of high status and shares a name with a character first introduced in 1993's Mortal Kombat 2, whose name roughly translates to loinstone in French and Spanish?
Hold on.
Jade.
That's what I think it is, yeah. I was thinking. Ornamental automatically was like, I think Jade. And then he said character in Mortal Kombat. I was like, Jade.
Totally Jade.
Tommy.
Jade.
Can we say Jade?
Yeah. Let's just go with that.
We're going to go with Jade. Passionate
Tommy, you say it.
We're going to go with Jade. I came up with this myself.
Nice.
Can't run anything past you guys. Jade is correct.
Mortal Kombat gave it
I'm
away.
Here for a reason.
We could do Mortal Kombat trivia all day.
Piedra de Ijada is Spanish for loinstone, and it is named as such for its reported efficacy in healing ailments of the loin and kidneys. And a little fun extra fact about Jade: in ancient China, art objects made from Jade actually had a higher status value than gold or silver.
Damn. Gotta get my hands on some jade.
Green.
All right. Here's one of those questions that I don't know how easy it is. If it is, I'm just going to, I guess, ask the harder question because I don't want to ask you an easy one. Or should I just give you an easy one?
Yeah, give us the easy one, Mark. I want to sound smart.
Okay.
No, Tommy, give us the hard one.
Attention?
Give us the hard version.
You want the hard version?
Yeah. And yeah, maybe you can hint us along if we're struggling.
Okay, I'll give you the first question as the first part of this question as a mini question.
Okay.
The television show Garfield and Friends that ran from 1988 to 1994 also contained what other short cartoon?
I've definitely seen this cartoon. Contained another short cartoon.
Didn't Nermal have her own short cartoon inside of Garfield? The sub character Nermal.
I don't know.
Is it Nermal? You guys remember Nermal?
Not really. Tommy, help me.
God, I hope I'm getting that name right. It doesn't even sound like a real character's name. Nermal.
Nermal.
When you say it out loud.
Medic. Yeah, I don't know. Man, is this the easy one?
Yeah.
Fucking.
What was the show?
The Garfield and Friends.
Yeah.
And you asked for which character or what was the name of the
what show? Was the name of the cartoon within Garfield and Friends? There was obviously Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
Odie. And then there was another short segment.
Mm-hmm.
Enhance.
Tommy's just going. To
you hear the keys clacking?
Tommy has no regard whatsoever for anything going on around him.
Enhance.
I just keep minimizing.
Good Blade Runner reference there, Peter.
I'd go with Nermal.
Yeah, I don't know. You guys remember the show, I guess, but not the mini show, or did you guys not watch Garfield and Friends?
No.
Shoot.
I might be thinking of a different Garfield, too. It was 88 to 96?
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty early for me.
88 to 94.
It was negative 1 to...
It's 1991. The violent crime rate is higher than ever, and I'm inside watching
Peter
Garfield
Coulter's
and Friends.
2 years old. Yeah. The violent crime rate is higher than...
You're inside under your banky.
Is it Nermal and Pals? Garfield and Friends and Nermal and Pals? Nermal's Corner?
I'll go with that. Tommy's not here with us, so.
No, I'm rewriting my third question.
Good time to fucking do it, Tommy. Yeah. Jesus Christ. For those who are not in the know, Tommy's had 3 weeks basically to write three questions. Actually, to write five. He should have a surplus of them. He's waiting till now and to rewrite his last question. Fantastic. So what do you guys want to say?
Nermal and...
What? Nermal's Corner.
Nermal's Corner.
Nermal and Pals.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. The woman who voiced Nermal, Nermal is a character from Garfield.
Nice. Good job, Lee.
A gray tabby cat who Garfield is insanely jealous of because he is the self-proclaimed world's cutest kitty cat. He is the one that Garfield always threatens to mail to Abu Dhabi.
Oh, yeah.
The name of the cartoon I was looking for was called U.S. Acres. U.S. Acres. Known by its main character, Orson the Pig. Also Sheldon, who is a chick who is still hiding inside its shell. Roy the Rooster, and a bevy of other characters that live on a farm. Also done by Jim Davis.
I remember Sheldon.
Sheldon as a chicken that is in his egg, shelled in, that is a great pun.
It's
character
beautiful.
Name.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well done, Mr. Davis.
You may remember some of those cartoon characters right up there.
I do. Yeah, I remember. Yep.
So we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to have a Rate My Question and finish things out with our final questions for each other.
All right.
right, we're back. It's time for a Rate My Question. We have a Rate My Question here from Garrett. Garrett writes, "Hello, Mark and Lee. I'm an international listener tuning in from Montreal. I've been doing a virtual internship these past couple months, and the podcast really helps keep me going. That being said, a couple episodes ago, Mark managed to trigger me twice with one question. I'm a big fan of QI, so I was triggered when he said Sandy Toksvig sounded like a fake name. Get with the fake names. We're getting a lot of crap for that. I was also triggered about 30 seconds later when he said Monty Python was, quote, fucking weird. However, I was greatly amused by his attempt to translate Mi siento hermosa in last week's episode. Now for my question. I've noticed both of you tend to excel in pop culture questions. I personally never do well with movie questions or music questions, so I thought I'd return the favor and give you a movie music question. Here it is. The band Rascal Flatts covered Tom Cochrane's country hit Life is a Highway for the soundtrack of what 2007 film? I have to admit, I'm pretty sure I know this. You guys know this?
No.
Life is a Highway.
It's not Miss Congeniality 2.
The only 2007 movie I know now is Darjeeling Limited.
Ah.
Maybe that's it.
I think the number 23 also came out in 2007.
Okay.
Starring Jim Carrey.
James Carrey.
By the way,
I just want to say... No, I don't think so. I just want to say... Monty Python is fucking weird. Now, I've noticed this thing where when you tell people like they're weird, it's almost always taken derogatively. Mm-hmm. And I I rarely mean it as a negative. I just mean it as abnormal, which is 99% of the time good.
Absolutely. I agree.
But if you're going to tell me that the Knights Who Say Me is like normal,
usually the word weird is a derogatory sense. Unique would be a nicer word for that.
Thank you, Tommy.
As per my therapist.
That's a important semantical distinction.
All right, and Mark, what we're going to do here is instead of that, we're going to say unique, okay? Because that means that's a nicer way to put it.
Hey, Mark, like you never know. You can turn your life around. You start making changes like that.
I know. Come about to make a change.
Is this song "Life Is a Highway"? Is that a country song? I mean, Rascal Flatts is a country band, but the original
Rascal Flatts version though sounds exactly like Tom Cochrane's version.
Yeah, but I feel like originally that's like a rock pop rock song.
Yeah.
Life is a highway,
but that's kind of what country sounds like now. It
all night long.
Yeah, country music is just pop music with a cowboy hat on. Mm-hmm. These days.
I mean, the video was taken
in a
desert.
What's that?
Nothing.
I'm getting some, duplicated audio here, so it's kind of hard to hear what you guys are saying.
Country version of Life is a Highway in it. A 2007 movie with a country version of Life is a Highway in it.
What do you think it is, Lee?
Didn't he ask the question?
I believe.
No,
this is a Rate My Question. So this is from a listener. This is from Garrett from Montreal.
I'll get it.
I think it's Cars.
Oh,
I mean, doesn't that even make sense? I'm pretty sure that plays over the credits of the Pixar animated hit Cars.
I think you might be onto something there, Lee.
The original Cars?
The first one.
Right? 07?
Yeah, let's do Cars.
I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah. Lee, or whatever your name is, Tommy?
Let's go with Cars.
Yeah. You say it.
All right, let me see if I can find the answer here. Sorry, I just got to go in my email.
Cars. And life is a highway.
And then we rate this question?
Yes.
But we got to find out if we're right first. Because if we're wrong, then maybe that'll make you mad and you'll want to give them a D.
We are correct. It's Cars.
Wow, man. Good job, Lee. That's very
thanks
good.
For the emotional support on that one, guys.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
we were all
Tommy
medics.
There.
You did all great. Right.
I was channeling my inner Tommy.
You did great.
Thoughts total on monotone. This question?
Yeah, I think it's a strong question. I'd give it an A to an A+. I mean, It's got the right amount of information. You know.
Yeah, I would give it. I would give it an A as well. It's fine. It does say country hit, and I would maybe argue that that's not a country hit, at least the original version. But then it gives the name of the song, so it hardly matters what genre, because you probably know what Life is a Highway sounds like. Yeah. So I think this is a good question. You know,
I'll give it an A minus, just because I don't want to be too generous.
Fair.
I give it an A plus. Garrett rules.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, Garrett rules for sure. That's not what I was saying.
He did a great job on that. It was really nicely worded, too.
All right.
I think so.
He's from Canada.
Montreal.
Is he from Canada or is he studying in Canada? He's in an abroad thing.
It's his number one hit in his native country of Canada.
Montreal. Ah, native. Canadian native. Mm-hmm. I have not ever once... Oh, I take that back. I was going to say I've never met a mean Canadian. I did meet one mean Canadian. I was actually... We're talking about Montana. I was driving from Montana into Canada, Alberta, I think, and the fucking customs guard was such a douchebag. He tossed my car. It's because I just had a beard.
Jesus.
He's like, you bringing weed? It's like, well, dude, I'm not going to go to Canada and bring weed from the United States. Dude, I can get weed in Canada.
They would definitely do that now because we're not allowed in there.
Yeah, well.
Rightfully
so. We're not allowed anywhere now. We got to stay here. We missed our moment.
Sorry, Garrett, we can't come visit you.
But we appreciate the question. And if you want to write us with a Rate My Question, you can do so by sending us an email at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Call us at 1-929-356-6966. We love to hear your lovely voices. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. No, that's the wrong part of the script. Forget it. Just send us a Rate My Question is what I mean. Use those methods to get a hold of us.
All right, you ready?
Yes. First up,
you want to have Tommy go first? Peter first.
Peter. That's me. Okay, this is a chess question, motherfucker.
All right.
You're gonna like this one. This is gonna be an A plus.
Hold on, I forgot to party after we got that last question right.
Mm-hmm. Brought to you by Arizona iced tea. Okay, the queen on the chessboard. Mm-hmm. Was not always the queen. The piece originally had a different name. Different name. Evolved into the queen later. What was it originally? There are, I think, like three answers that'll work here, but they kind of all mean the same thing.
Is it another noble title, I assume? I mean, you'd think that it would fit the theme. Might be. Knights, pawns, bishops, castles, kings. Perhaps it's a prince. If it's, you know.
Sexist.
Right. I mean, maybe that was like, shouldn't we get at least one female piece in here?
Yeah, that might have been.
What happened? I've actually got some good kind of detail to fill in on that later, so sit tight.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
Don't touch that dial.
And Prince was androgynous. Maybe that's where his name came from. He was the prince.
I like that idea.
Queen.
Yeah, let's go with that.
The prince?
Yeah.
All right. Prince is our answer.
Okay, that's incorrect, but it's pretty close. It's a good guess. The correct answer is... counselor or prime minister or vizier. The counselor is probably the one you'd guess if you were going to guess one of those. Yeah, so it's from in Sanskrit, Persian, and Arabic. They all have their own word for it, which are all kind of similar, like Firz, I think, F-I-R-Z. Anyway, initially its only move was one square diagonally. And then around 1300, it was enhanced to allow it to jump around a little more. And then in the, I want to say, 15th century, in the 1400s, the queen had this kind of like cultural shift where it became the most powerful piece by far on the board. And there's some speculation historically that it was in large part because of Queen Isabella of Spain, who was one of the most powerful monarchs in the world at the time. And there was kind of like this response that she was like, well... Make the queen more powerful. huh. in this game.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
The game kind of following the influence of the real-life political dynamics of the day.
A couple other fun things about chess, too. The two newest rules, which in chess means they're like 1,000 years old, is the pawn moving forward 2 on its initial move was something they introduced later. I'm not exactly sure when, but a long time ago, to just speed the game along. It used to only be one move no matter what. And also castling, same reason.
Those were the two that I would have guessed. Yeah. If that was a trivia question, those are the two that I would have
figured. I almost made a question about one of those. But
El Pasa or El Pasa.
castling?
No.
En passant.
En passant,
yeah.
En passant,
That's the most recent.
That came naturally out of the rule change with the two pawns moving forward. Pawn moving forward too. So if the pawn can suddenly move forward 2, it can just pass an advanced pawn without having to be liable for that first square, which is kind of a problem. So basically, en passant just means you're liable for that square that you're passing through.
So, Peter, you play a lot of chess?
I'm pretty rusty right now, but I used to a lot.
Okay. How'd you get involved in that?
My dad started teaching me when I was really young, like 7 or 8, and I just kind of like it. My brain likes that type of shit, like triangles.
What's your nationality?
I'm half Greek, and I've always thought a quarter German, eighth Irish, and eighth French, because that's how it breaks down with my grandparents, nationality-wise. But my recent...
Well, that would be, I guess, ethnicity, right? Nationality would be American.
Ethnicity.
Yeah, I guess. But my recent DNA test says half Greek and half French, which is kind of a surprise to me. But definitely
sounds like
Greek.
A good chess mixture.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you have kind of a Russian look to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I take everything as a compliment.
Russians are beautiful.
How do triangles play into chess, though? I'm curious about that.
No, I was just saying like mathy stuff.
Oh, okay. Because the knight kind of moves like a triangle in a way.
Yeah, sort of. It's like, you know, shapes and visual.
Seems like all the same part of the brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Mark, you said you recently said you're bad at chess, right? Didn't you say that last week?
Yeah, I mean, I understand the rules and everything. I'm just too impatient.
I want to watch you guys play each other.
You just want to watch 1 minute of Peter just fucking smoking me? Okay.
Well, he said he was rusty, you know. Could be a fair
fight. Well, yeah, rusty is still better than what I am. I can go deep thought thinking a bunch of moves ahead for 5-10 minutes, and then by then I'm just like, just go.
Okay, I'm done.
Just go. Yeah. Just go.
Flush the memory.
Yeah,
time for
right.
a defrag. Tommy, how about you with chess? You play chess?
I've gone through several phases of my life of really caring about chess, but it's a very humbling game, and you can be very mentally invested and make a move and just really just feel soul crushed and make you not want to play that game for a good amount of time. And so I've gone through a few phases. More recently on tour, me and Peter would play a lot of chess, and Peter was just like studying tons and tons of it, and basically I'd win like 1 out of 10, you know.
Oh wow, okay. So Peter, you're okay for amateur, I guess, right?
I'm okay for an amateur. I'm definitely an amateur. It's like music in a way, where there is no end to what you can learn about it. It just keeps going and going and going. And Tommy was saying it's super humbling stuff. It is. I mean, grandmasters do that shit, where they just like will put a piece on a dangerous square and just lose a game. Like, I mean, people who spent their entire lives who are just, you know, savant genius type, like almost different hardware brain.
Like Bobby Fischer.
Yeah, and even those guys will make mistakes sometimes. It's just an incredibly complicated and demanding game.
Yeah.
Right on.
The more you play, the more you experience. Tommy.
Yes,
Tommy.
Okay, here we go.
We want your last question.
What limited production electric sports car manufactured by a British automobile manufacturer holds the current record for the most horsepower?
Electric sports car?
It is, in fact, electric. Now, I'll take the make of it as well.
Okay.
That's much more commonly known.
So it's British.
It is British.
So
could it be a McLaren?
Could be.
An electric McLaren?
That's the name of... Oh, the electric... Oh, what if it was mud? The Electric Mud, and that's his last question.
The Electric Mud Claren.
The Electric Mud, Burn the Ships, coming out September 25th on Smallstone Records.
Perfect. Right? Yes. Just check out the show notes for a link to that. You can pre-order the album.
Oh, thanks, man.
And the vinyl is gorgeous looking, by the way.
Thank you. I'm excited about that. That's our first vinyl.
What other we have the
Porsche.
The Porsche.
Lamborghini.
Is that British? Lamborghini?
Yeah, I don't think it was British.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking British. Sorry.
Aston Martin.
The Mini Cooper.
Aston Martin is a good one.
Yes.
So
I don't know any electric versions of these, though.
Yeah, I don't either.
Maybe it's because we're over here in America.
Tesla is dominating the news. Yeah.
The thing is like a car like a McLaren or something like that, you probably wouldn't know about because it's just, there's no one driving
$300,000 or something?
Right. Yeah.
Why would I be interested in that?
Tommy's into like sport, like he's into sports cars that like, you know, dreaming about shit that most people can't buy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like
so
a
we're not talking
driver.
About like a Ford.
Right. And highest horsepower ever. I mean, it could be just like, you know.
It is a well-known make.
Because... Okay. Because McLaren is the last name of Malcolm McLaren, who is British, manager of the Sex Pistols, and they are a sports car. McLaren is my guess.
I'm fine with that. It sounds hella fast, and I have no better guess.
Peter, what do you think?
I just want to make sure we're kind of covering the ground here. McLaren, Aston Martin, some other British automakers. Is there any other big ones we're
BMW?
Missing?
BMW?
That's German, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely German.
Oh, my bad. Oh, okay.
Thanks, Tommy.
I just couldn't let you guys do that.
Yeah, BMW.
Don't do that to the question, please.
Mercedes-Benz, also German. Or something over there.
Yeah, it's German.
A Jaguar?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. A bloody Jaguar?
Ooh.
Tommy's hiding behind his screen now, so that might be it.
In the back seat of a bloody Jaguar.
Is that your final answer?
No.
Judge Advocate General. Jag. I don't know.
What
do you guys think about that? McLaren?
I could go with that if you think.
Let's go with it.
Well, unfortunately, that's wrong.
Fuck off.
I'm sorry, guys. It is the Lotus... Avaya.
What is it? Avaya?
Avaya.
Avaya.
Sounds cool.
Lotus.
Lotus. See, now, I personally would never have guessed that, because Lotuses are known for not being the highest horsepower cars. They maneuver and corner some of the best, but they cannot hold a shit ton of horsepower. They're such a tiny car.
Interesting.
This particular model is a...
Beefcake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, it's... Yeah. It's worth knowing this car puts out over 1,900 horsepower, which is insane.
That's too much.
Damn!
Too many horses.
You couldn't even
fit them all in front of the car to drag it if you had to set up those 19,000 horses. Like,
yeah.
That would just be a lot, you know?
Maybe they're baby horses.
1,970 horsepower.
Jesus. Oh, 1,970, not 19,000.
No, 1,970 horsepower.
Did you say 19,000?
I thought he said 19,000 horsepower. That's why I was like, damn!
Yeah, that's...
Drive me to the moon!
You would never have like tires that would hold that.
Yeah. That's okay.
You just make that R2-D2 scream noise. Wow!
I'm glad we caught you, Tommy. It's clear that you don't know very much about cars.
Now, Tommy, that question you said you rewrote that wasn't the question that you had prepared originally.
That is, yeah, you're right. I was like,
so was that based on the one you had originally, or is that an entirely new question? Because you said Lee's gonna get this one, I gotta change it, and there's no way I would have gotten that.
Yeah, yeah, My original question, for one, I think this question had already been asked. I could, you know, just from following the podcast, I recall somebody asking this, and I think it might have been you. The initial question was, selling 200 million copies, including mobile game downloads, what is the highest selling video game of all time? And I believe you knew that.
I think it's
GoldenEye.
It's Doom, right?
Call of Duty.
Doom was the most installed game. Not Halo. Highest selling, I don't think.
It is on all the mainstream platforms at this moment. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm almost certain that you've
Tetris?
Asked this before.
Hold on. Is it Pac-Man?
No, it is not.
Okay,
is it Tetris?
Pac-Man is the highest grossing.
No.
It's not Tetris?
Nope, it's not. It's Minecraft. I wish that maybe I should have asked that.
Yeah, obviously, Tommy.
I don't know that I've asked that one before.
Huh.
I'm almost certain.
That's a good one.
Minecraft.
Leland?
It's true. We've got two copies installed in our house.
Yeah.
And so much other Minecraft bullshit.
I've actually never played it.
Some blocks.
It's like Legos Plus, like virtual Legos, you know?
Yeah, you
but there's
be in
there's
the
all
guy.
Sorts of like other interactive elements to it. I think it's like in a weird way, it can teach kids to program a little bit, not in like a very direct way, but
right.
kind of just the fundamentals, like
get your
you
mind.
Can store things in this box, right. you know, there's containers and stuff like
get
that.
Get your kind of momentum going in that direction.
All right. Mark?
Me. Arthur Fry invented what office staple in 1974?
It wouldn't be a fucking stapler, would it?
Mark loves doing that shit, so I would not be surprised. What year did you say, Mark?
1974.
I think staplers are older than that.
Yeah.
Whiteout?
No, the mother of Davy Jones from the Monkees invented Whiteout.
Huh.
Yeah, that was a trivia question.
Mm-hmm. How about Post-it notes?
Hmm. 1970, that feels very 70s. Like before that, people were just using like full-size pieces of paper, hanging them up everywhere. And Arthur Fry comes along, hey, just take a little pad, rip it off.
Pretty good idea. Mm-hmm. Arthur Fry, who I'm convinced invented Post-it notes now.
Office supply staple. I mean, they are. Yeah. What
How about
do we have?
Paper clips.
72?
Yeah.
That's too late. I feel like a paper clip probably was around in like the 1800s. They had some rudimentary form of it, probably.
Mm.
Well, maybe not, but earlier than 72.
I would think so, too. Tommy's response. Shooting down his answer. I'm sorry, Tommy.
There's
I mean,
a lot
it
of
could be.
Stuff.
You know, sometimes there you is. Get vengeance on the show when your answers or your teammates help you suss it out, or suss you out of the correct answer, rather.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Tommy, you think it's paperclip?
It was an idea.
Yeah,
it came to my mind.
I appreciate you sharing. I don't want to. This is a safe space for ideas.
I don't think it was that because metals. Were
they old?
I don't know. I feel like the paperclip, if anything, came from the 60s or 50s.
It's a 60s type of invention.
Yeah,
50s
exactly.
Type of invention. Just
plus, like, the Post-it note requires some components. You need to have the adhesive.
Right,
you need to get the small paper. It's not like exactly like an obvious idea.
Right.
You know?
I think I like that idea.
Or maybe it's a highlighter.
Huh?
Hmm.
Could be. Yeah. I like highlighters.
A highlighter.
So useful.
This is a great question.
It is a good question, yeah.
Finally.
You guys ever get into
that? We
gotta
have one
phase?
Good question each episode.
Yeah, you know? You guys ever get into that mode where you end up just highlighting nearly every word on a page and you're just like, what am I doing?
This is interesting. So is this.
I try to get to that point. First, I try to get to the point where I'm opening the book
and
starting to read. That's the big struggle.
I think Post-it note. I'm going to stick with Post-it note. I'm going to stick with Post-it note.
Nice.
Thank you.
Yes. Peter's great with puns.
Let's do it, Tommy. Let's join him on this Post-it note journey.
You guys in?
All right. Let's combine forces.
On three.
Mark, we're going with Post-it notes.
That is correct.
Fuck yeah! Give it to him!
$1 million.
Yeah, I was prepared to give you guys a little bit of a clue into saying that his name was more well-known in 1997, as it was referenced in a movie. Do you guys know what movie this would be?
Arthur Fry.
Titanic. 97. Or Bring It On, possibly.
How High. No, that's early 2000s.
No, that was How Fry.
I'm sure a couple people have already yelled at their stereo saying it. The correct answer with Lisa Kudrow and Janine Garofalo, as well as I can't remember who the other main actress is Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion.
Never heard of it.
Me either.
You've never heard of this movie?
I vaguely remember. I haven't seen it, but I remember the box cover.
So there, this is
a movie about two women who go to their high school reunion, and they were picked on a lot when they were younger. Mira Sorvino is the other girl, the other woman, and Alan Cumming is also in it. They go back and they basically are single, working dead end jobs, but they want to really pop and make everybody believe that they had done a lot. So they go out, dressed to the nines, borrowing a company car, et cetera, et cetera. And, their big lie to everybody is that they invented the post-it note. That's how they made a bunch of money. And one of the women says, "No, you didn't. Arthur Fry invented the post-it note." That's Janine Garofalo's character. Blows the whistle on him.
Nice. Amazing.
There you go.
Arthur Fry.
I once had a guy at a gig, so most of my income right now, well, not right now, but in general, comes from playing in bars, solo acoustic type stuff. And there's this guy, Constantine and I used to play in a duo. There's this guy that would show up at one of our gigs, and he told us that he was Dewey Bunnell from the band America, which is a name that I'd never heard before, Dewey Bunnell. Heard of America. And I was like, oh, really? Cool. And I guess this guy's been just telling people this story since before the internet in my pocket was a thing, because I looked up Dewey Bunnell and it's not him. He's fucking telling me he's Dewey Bunnell. I can verify or not, you know.
We get a lot of those weird things. People just feel the need, once they have a couple drinks in them, to go up to probably anybody at the bar, but us for sure, and they just tell us the most ridiculous crap that's clearly not true. You know, usually like, oh, I know Geddy Lee.
Yeah.
I have his phone number.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm just like,
I saw Jimi Hendrix play the national anthem at Woodstock.
Yeah.
Right. Stuff like that all the time. They just get drinks in them and just want to be interesting and want, you know, the band to think they're cool.
Yeah.
And mentioning you know Geddy Lee is never going to make you cool in my eyes.
I mean, I think you're cool. Everyone, don't listen to Tommy. Hey, I'm talking to him, actually.
Geddy Lee's one of the most impressive bass players of that time era.
Yeah, he's
now people are going to be shouting at you from the crowd, "Hey, that lyric is from The Imitation Game! I recognize that!
I love that movie.
It is a good movie."
All right, Lee.
I have a music question to round things out here for you guys. What Oscar and Grammy-winning film composer plays background keyboards on and appears in the music video for the 1980 classic new wave hit Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles?
I don't know. I only know like one or two famous movie music guys. Movie music composers. What's the term?
Okay. I'm gonna be real short and sweet about this.
Let's do it.
The obvious answer would be dude from Oingo Boingo, that I can never remember his name.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who does all the Tim Burton movies.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing?
Mm-hmm.
I've decided it's not Hans Zimmer.
Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman. That would be the obvious answer here. My other guess, as far as a well-known composer who does electric stuff, is Hans Zimmer.
Oh, I like Hans Zimmer.
Is he that old?
He did the Miami Vice theme, I believe.
Oh, Hans Zimmer's like really 8. Might be him. Man, I'm a...
So my guess is Hans Zimmer.
All right, I'm in.
Yeah.
We're going with Hans Zimmer.
Hans Zimmer.
That's correct. Yes! Hans Zimmer. A early member of the Bungles. The Bungles were kind of like a proto-Gorillaz. Songwriter Trevin Horde once said, in our heads, the Bungles were a fantasy group that had been dreamt up by a record label that had this huge computer in the basement. In a 2001 interview, Zimmer said that the group had all the cliches, but fell victim to the one where as soon as they had a hit record, they started infighting. Still, they reunited for a live performance of the song Video Killed the Radio Star in 2017 at a packed Wembley Stadium concert for an epic 39-song retrospective of Zimmer's catalog of hits, backed by a band including Johnny Marr's son, Niall. And Zimmer announced during the concert that proceeds of that concert would go to support families of victims in the Grenfell Tower fire in London, which had occurred earlier that week. Hans Zimmer, once a member of the Bungles.
How about that?
Damn.
I'll tell you what, I just recently heard, maybe not so recently, but I heard a Hans Zimmer song that I love. It was one of those songs that I got into, like, replay this 40 times a day for a week or so, called Turn Around. And it's from, it's like a Pixar movie that I saw it in. It's just so fucking good. It's a beautiful song. So Hans Zimmer, Turn Around. Check it out.
Okay. Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes. Check out Peter's recommendation there. And don't forget to check out Burn the Ships. It arrives on September 25th via Small Stone Records. However, you can pre-order it and listen to the single, The First Murder on Mars, today. Just go into the show notes for that as well. Tommy, Peter, thank you so much
for
joining us here.
Thank you for having us. Be sure you check out our Facebook, The Electric Mud from Fort Myers, and give us a like and follow.
That would be nice. We'll take it.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways, the easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You can also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show, including our new proverbial lightkeeper, Jenny. Thank you very much. She was a proverbial lightkeeper, right?
That's right.
Good. Thanks to our quiz daddies, Dylan, Tommy from The Electric Mud.
That's right.
Woo, woo! And Tim from Pat's Garden Service. Thank you to our team captains, Gil.
It's Gil.
Kristen, Fletcher, Rachel, Aaron, and David Holbrook. David Holbrook, David Holbrook. Thanks to our proverbial lightkeepers, Jenny, as previously mentioned, Christopher, Logan, Spencer, Caitlin, Manu, Mo, Nina, Michael, Matthew, Luke, Marissa, Justin, Hank, Nicole, Cooper, Sean, Carly, Chris, Elise, Josh, and Lucas. And thanks to our Rumpelstiltskins, Tiffany, Allison, Paige, Kenya, hi again, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C.,
Mike Crowley,
Michael S.,
Mike supporting the no-no,
Michael C.,
and Michael J.,
Mike Jade.
Ah, yes.
If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or a miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
Yes, as my friend Lee just mentioned, we have a Facebook group that you can join as well. Still have some people steadily trickling in. Don't be left behind. We've got loads of information going up about our individual trivias, in addition to some background information about the episodes. Please just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only, please.
Tommy got bowled over.
Tommy snuck in there.
Until then.
He's making his time worth it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Tell him have a good week.